to We're All Gonna Die, another fun... I'm doing that in a fake voice. I gotta stop. Welcome to We're All Gonna Die, another fun facts. A semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. This episode is entitled Grumpy Young Men, and it is about the challenges young people face honing their skills at being curmudgeons. It is my theory that no, people don't get kind of like grumpy in when they get old. No, they start out that way and they just work at it. It's sort of like lame middle-aged people. They're really lame young people. Like people who are downloading Jack Johnson songs.
Right.
These are the people in their mid-40s who are just going to be leasing Camrys. Like, you can just see that arc already coming.
Their iPod cuts out at 17.
Yes.
They just stop evolving.
Yes. Exactly. Those people. So it's sort of the same thing. And so... our guest for this episode is Nate Hunt, who I think is someone who's working on those skills. He's a former student of mine, a very astute, very intelligent student. Like all of my astute, intelligent students didn't finish, but hey, you know, that's what happens. And so say something for yourself, Nate. Well, who are you and what the hell do you do?
I work at a... in Point Breeze. Kind of lame that I just identify myself by the place that I work at.
Yeah.
But that's where my mindset comes from mostly as a being a professional chef, I guess.
Okay.
I cook food for money, I guess that.
Cook food for money.
And as a result of that, it's really hard to not develop a disdain for everyone that comes to my restaurant.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And so I was thinking about, you know, and the thing about where you're at in the world, I mean, you pretty much are the reason why the Chinese are going to rule the 21st century. Is that how it's working?
Yeah, that is 100% correct.
Okay, that's great. All right, so when it comes to, like, kind of honing those grumpy skills, or I think what it is maybe... I don't know, do we want to call it being a hater?
That has such a negative connotation.
It does have such a negative
connotation. And I don't approve of that.
Yeah, that's why I had to say it with some reservation. And you think, I mean, my dad, the other thing is I was thinking about this as, you know, I think younger generations had it easier. I think aesthetically the world was a lot simpler. I think about my dad. I mean, my dad was a grumpy old man, and he was, like, really racist sometimes. You know what I mean? And so, like, we can't go there.
Right.
Like, that's lame and stupid, and it sucks, and it just doesn't work.
That was the past generations.
Yeah, the past generations. So how do we, like, kind of have those marks of distinction, or just, you know, just realize that a lot of shit really fucking sucks? Put that straight at the forefront of what we should be thinking about in the world.
I think describing myself or ourselves, if we'll go that far, as haters is it doesn't get the full picture because it's more. I would choose elitist.
Okay. Okay.
Because
I like this.
Elitist does have a negative connotation to it. If someone else applies that term to you, you don't like it.
Yeah, this is true.
However, if you self-identify as elitist, it's in the elite. It's in the name.
I get you. I hear you. And I think the other thing, too, is... I guess, though, too, is if everything fucking sucks, or most things fucking suck, why not the name, the self-identification, be just, like, a kind of a self-awareness of one's own awfulness?
Right. Or, what I did a long time ago... I guess I was in my late teens. I decided that everything that I was into, the things that interest me... they're all awesome.
Yes.
Everything that I like is great. And if it's not something that I like, then fuck it. I don't need it. I don't like it. I don't want to like it. And I know why I don't like it. And I know why I do like the things that I do like.
Amen. I think about when I was like 2000, 2001, I like permanently turned the radio off.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I listen to the classical station when I'm not home, so the dog thinks there's people here.
Right.
You know, but other than that, there is no need for radio. I can curate my own soundtrack. Fuck it.
There's definitely moments where I don't want to listen to the radio, but I have such a soft spot for disposable pop music that I can't, a Katy Perry or a Carly Rae Jepsen.
Here's what I had to do when it was the Britney Spears, kind of Christina Aguilera era.
Right.
We used to get on our digital cable, like, I think it was actually called the Asian Channel, which is in of itself like, really? Or like TV, which is sort of like, ew.
Yeah.
You know, like, But they had South Korean pop countdown.
Oh, yeah?
And the songs were the fucking same. And it was like, hey, baby, love, da, 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 ow! You know, and it was like people dancing and shit. And I loved the fuck out of that. Because I don't speak Korean.
Yeah.
I don't know the inane shit that's coming out of their mouths. I mean, I'm not even a lyrics person anymore when I listen to music.
Right, it's just...
But I had no fucking clue. It was just like, ba 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 ba. And like,
it's all incredibly catchy.
Yeah. And so that's part of it. Is I mean, that's why, you know, I have a friend who just can't get past the fact that I don't see mainstream movies even.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I do my little Pittsburgh Filmmakers art house thing and the theater at Squirrel Hill that shows arty flicks. And I don't even see the fucking, like, Oscar movies.
Yeah?
And so it's just like, no, this is my little Keebler tree and just fuck everything else. I'm not going to see the Avengers.
Oh, really?
And he just couldn't... you see, that's...
I mean, nice. Well, like, I understand.
That, you see, that's the other thing about this is like two beta fish now.
Yeah.
Because I said that name, and that was like, you're in the other freaking container at Petco, like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
There's a motherfucker over there who doesn't like the Avengers, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you, as a result of the world that we live in, you now can do that. You can just, you don't need mainstream movies. You watch movies that you've never seen all the time. Yeah. Because of things like Netflix and the internet. And you don't have to rely on what's playing at the movie theater.
Yeah, well, to even go more extreme, my favorite movie of all time, we saw at the Cleveland International Film Festival. We go every spring. We see, like, 19 movies in one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this complete orgy of just popcorn and, like, my tailbone hurts by Sunday. Just like, fuck, yeah. But there was this movie, and you'll have to come over another time, called The Art of Negative Thinking.
Okay.
It's about
this appeals to me already.
About a support group for quadriplegics in wheelchairs and shit. And this guy who like hijacks the group and's like, instead of think positive, you got to realize how much everything fucking sucks. I saw that movie. I was just like, that's the greatest thing in my life. Never distributed in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it in 08. I searched for it for 4 years. And I finally realized, no, I need to search the title in Norwegian. It took me 4 years to realize that. And as soon as I did, region-free Blu-ray from Taiwan.
No way.
Yeah. It's right over there on the shelf behind you. And I was like, fuck! And so it was like, no, this is the greatest movie ever. And when people ask, I then have to do this lengthy explanation.
Right.
Which is... I think maybe makes me a little more bitter. I think that I gotta explain fucking everything.
Right, you can't just say, you know, Mean Girls. You know.
Yeah. You can't just say Mean Girls.
And everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, or like Batman something.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's how I felt being at a... Like, being in a late 90s nostalgia screamo band.
Mm.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to... explain that to people that don't really know about music that much at all?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what's your band sound like? Bunch of bands that you never heard of that broke up 10 years ago that no one really cares about anymore. But me and all my friends do, so we want to sound like them.
Yeah.
And it's like, metal or a metal band. It just becomes that, because that's easier.
Yeah, no,
than explaining an entire, you know, decade or so of musical progression.
Yeah, and it is all about, I think, friction. There's a weird kind of faux Tarantino movie from the early 90s called Killing Zoe. Do you know it?
Oh, I've never seen it.
Okay, well, it's back when everybody thought, holy shit, Eric Stoltz, man, he's going to take over the world! And then he ended up in, like, Chicago Hope or something.
Right.
Remembers him. Yeah, other than, doesn't he look kind of like Bubba from Mama's Family when he was young? But it wasn't Bubba, it was this other guy.
Yeah, he
like
does.
Like this Eric Stoltz, like, doppelganger, you know?
Now I think he's most remembered for being the guy that played Marty McFly before Michael J. Fox did.
Yeah, that's it. And but so he's in this movie about these guys. They were friends and they were kids, and so he goes to France because he's a safecracker, and there's gonna be this huge bank job. And the night before the bank job, they get totally fucked up. Like they just, you know, like his friend now is on heroin, and so the guy's like, listen, you smoke a little grass, you drink some weed, you drink some, you know, whatever. And so you get to that point where the world is made out of glass and you are a bad windshield wiper. And I can see how, like, that's not a metaphor for when I get fucked up. That's a metaphor
for when just comes stone cold sober
of my life. Because I think the flip side of this is that friction of, like, when people are in the, like, when really stupid shit gets popular. And so, and I think the thing, and it's stuff, especially like corporate stuff, you can almost kind of, okay, that's from up high,
right.
You have to go see that movie, and you have to like that band, and ooh, cheese fries at Applebee's. Like, that's not even like made by human beings anymore,
right.
You know? But like, organic stuff. And so, what I want to talk about is roadside memorials. And I've been doing a little research in the background of roadside
Please
memorials.
Please do.
But what's your take on the roadside memorial?
Okay. This is going to make me sound really bad, but a lot of people, a handful of people that I went to high school with died in car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wasn't really friends with them. They weren't particularly nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel the need to pretend like I was huge friends with them after they died. They were being drunk and racing, and they died.
Yeah.
So there's a roadside memorial there. And it was, like, on the route from my high school, or my mom's house to my high school. So anytime she rode me into school, I would just see it every day. And it's, my life is a bummer enough. You have a gravestone.
Yeah.
That's your memorial. Why would you want to place a memorial at the spot where your loved one literally died?
Yeah.
Like, what? They lived in this community. You probably live right here, too. You drive past it all the time. Why do you want to remember the spot where their last little bit of life was just choked out of their system?
Yeah, I find that so bizarre. And I think it's the one for me too that's very similar is the first time I saw a memorial back car window decal.
Exactly.
I almost hit that car. And I was just like, and what the fuck do you do? Like, my jaw just dropped. I was just driving. I realized where there's a microphone now. I just did the driving. Freaking. For you people watching at home, I'm putting my hand in the middle of an invisible steering wheel, gripping it at 12.
Turning it much more frequently than you would if you were
actually driving. Just like, what the fuck was that? And what do you do when you get rid of the car?
Yeah.
Do you have the ceremonial, like, with a razor blade to get it off? But no, I find that fascinating. And I also think, hey, we're in Pittsburgh. Imagine if Ben Roethlisberger had bit it in that bike accident. I mean, you would have had to close a lane.
Yeah.
Of 2nd Avenue for all the fence bears.
Yeah.
Because there's that great George Carlin thing, you know, why can nothing bad in this country ever happen without somebody leaving a poor fucking teddy bear against a chain link fence?
Exactly.
You know, and it's that impulse. And I wonder if it's, you know, it's people like, you know, if we're going more secular or like just, you know, the funeral wasn't enough.
I mean,
the thought of like, oh, this person, and we have to have forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in the form of a just rain-soaked, stained, diesel exhaust-scarred teddy bear on a There's one down on Irvine Street here in Hazelwood.
Oh yeah,
it's been there for years. And it's like, I mean, then they, like, put it, you know, if it's a human analog or an analog of an animal, I think they attach it with twist ties. And so it looks dead. It looks like, you know, it's been choked to death and, like, just kind of lynched or something.
And that's the way they want to...
As the example, you know, like, in what was it, The Stand, where they crucified the junkies or something, you know, like, this is their death. I mean...
And that's the way they want to remember their loved one.
That is the way they want to remember...
I mean, obviously, as a result of it being a roadside memorial, an accident happened and this person died. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely unexpected, probably really traumatic. But why do you want to remember the spot where they died? I just don't... Yeah. It doesn't that make sense in my mind.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's sometimes, too, I think our culture, because though we're talking about defining ourselves through obscure shit that we love, I think it's, for us, I think it's a reaction to... Because there's just so much mass-produced shit that's so anonymous and so anti-individualism and anti... the human spirit, if I can go there, that you just, okay, this is our thing. We're just going to watch Reba on the WB every Friday night and, you know, whatever. Order some Domino's. You know, and I just don't find that fulfilling. And I think for people, it's very hard. Well, how do you distinguish yourself from other people? And we're such an individualistic society. We don't like to think of ourselves as pack animals or anything.
Right.
And so I think there's that thing, well, what leg do you have to stand on? And I think it's trauma. Trauma gets you on Oprah.
Yeah.
Trauma is your cross to bear, your albatross, your thing that makes you... And granted, hey, I was a 90s teen. I was, you know, I'm a little further on this grumpy old man arc. You know, I'm graying and it looks distinguished or something, you know.
Right. It's a good look.
It's a good look.
The Clooney.
The Clooney. I got the Clooney going. And, yeah, but with but without the money and the supermodels, I got the Clooney happening, and he's probably got a better car than me.
Yeah,
I'm just guessing. Bigger house.
Yeah, maybe.
But you know,
who knows?
I got a podcast, so fuck him. You know,
right?
Podcast and a doctorate. Fuck Clooney. I'm going out there right now on a limb. I got nothing against you, George. I'm sorry. If you're,
he's a great man.
He's self-aware and funny and whatever. Glad somebody's making out in this world.
Right.
But, you know, so there's... So I think it is the trauma. I think it is that we, you know, remember, you know. And so... But that does freak me out. But here's the weird thing. We talked about it, and you think, but it was this kind of, like, organic phenomenon. Like, people, I think, just on their own decided that there wasn't, like, a store you could go and...
Get your roadside memorial.
Yeah, you know, which, that's something. That's an Estee shop that we haven't fucking started yet.
Oh.
If you're crafty, let's get on that. But the other thing is now that states are like, well, what the fuck do we do with these? Because it's technically litter.
Right.
But it's dead person litter. But it also makes people look, oh, hey, there's a thing. I'm going to look over here.
And get T-boned. Yeah.
Fucking T-boned, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there are states that are now starting to regulate. There's like, you got to like get the legislature involved. How long do we leave it there?
Yeah, what?
States like Montana and Wyoming, they'll put a sign. They'll, instead of like fence bears,
right?
We will straight up have some prisoners make a road sign and go totally legit. Now, there's one state, one of those square middle of the country states, I forget which one, it was in the New York Times. They'll do that, but there's an annual fee. It's a revenue source now. We will give you... We're going to take the fence bears and the white homemade crosses away. But for $100 a year or whatever, we'll give you a straight-up legit highway sign.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
It's like a license plate.
It is like a license plate.
You got to renew it every now and again.
Yes.
I get new stickers.
The state's involved. And that's... That's horrifying to me.
What... I don't understand why it, there's one also that right by the, where I get off the bus when I go to work, and I see it every time I get off the bus, it's the first thing I see, and the picture is, like, there's, like, a picture on it, it's, like, a little cross, most of the letters have fallen off the name, the picture is in, like, a little, like, plastic sleeve, but it's not, like, laminated, so it's, like, warped and like kind of blue, and I know people that still go to the graves of their husbands who have been dead for 40 years.
Yeah.
Do you go to the roadside memorial? Do you like keep that up?
Yeah.
Is that just as important as the, like, what is, why do it? I just don't understand why. I've never met anyone that could give me an explanation on it. And it just bums me out. I don't want to think about when I get on the off the bus that someone died here. Someone that people loved died right where I'm standing right now.
I mean,
I don't need that. Life's a bummer enough.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That is the epitome of kitsch, I think. That is the epitome of maybe taking something that was real and, dare I say, sacred, and just turning it into shit.
Yeah.
And just turning it absolutely into... And yeah, I mean, you think that that's worse, the dying roadside memorial. It's like a second death.
Yeah.
It's like you want that person to be remembered, but then, you have such it's like the rotting corpse. Just put the rotting corpse on the telephone pole.
Yeah, at least...
And you know...
Police will take care of that really quick.
Yes.
I'll never have to see that, unless I catch them at the right time.
Yeah, or the wrong time.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, think of this. There's other areas where this gets expressed. I mean, can we talk about the world of work?
Yes.
And then just how, like, that sense of awfulness and that sense that, I think it also is their commitment to, I can't bullshit myself. This fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, there's just things that you just go, no, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, like, feeling so betrayed. Oh, God, that's a terrible story from my childhood. But I had a pet moth.
Okay.
I caught a moth in a Tang jar, poked holes in the top, and I got some grass, and I threw it in there. And so my pet moth...
What was his name?
Oh, I don't even remember. poor bastard. I don't even know if he got named. Was in there, and I remember my mom, like, oh, he's happy. And then the next day, he was dead. And then I realized, like, oh, fuck, I killed this thing.
Yeah.
I loved this thing, and I killed it. And he wasn't happy. He was dying. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, I will never make myself feel better through bullshit ever again. And I think I made this decision at, like, 9. And it's worked out.
Yeah, excellent. That's a great time.
And so...
Any later and you've already caught too much.
Yes! But...
So it would be great if you could get it before you were baptized, even. Yes. If you could make that decision, arrive at that point.
Yes.
It's like, no, this is dumb.
Yeah.
This isn't going to do anything for me.
Fucking with human genetics. That's why, like, can we put that chromosome right? But yeah, so you then find something that you love or like, or that you're like, okay, I can do this so that I don't starve, I guess. Mm. Or something every day until I drop dead of a heart attack, or they, like, are done with me, or I get the gold watch.
Right.
You know, one of those three options. But even that, like, kind of sucks.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Every single day, I mean, I love where I work, but I enjoy being there because of the people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
But making the conscious decision of, I have to leave and go to work right now, is the worst thing in the world. It's always like, oh, well, another cigarette and I'll go. Another 5 more minutes of Asian Aliens and I'll go. Because I feel like I can't...
Aliens, man.
I feel like I can't, like, if I just don't have any free time, and I don't have any me time where I just watch TV or dick around on the internet, and I'm just working, like, Wednesday... I worked 14 hours a day. So I got up at, like, 7:30, got to work at, like, 8:30, got home at 11:15-ish. All I did all day was work.
Mm.
And I can't just go home and go to sleep, because then that's one day of my life that's just work.
Yeah.
I need something that makes me happy in addition to...
Yeah, and I find where I'm at is it's this weird thing because there's not... I mean, there's classroom time. It's like, okay, you're on. It's the show. It's...
Right.
You know, I understand why Johnny Cash took pills sometimes, you know, because it was like, you got to feel good at 7:30, son.
Yeah.
And that was his explanation. And I could totally... I don't take pills, but I totally understand, you know, I mean, or why some academics take Adderall or whatever, because you just got to be, and it's, you know, game show time. But then when it's off, there's always like, what's the next project? What's the next thing? When I was working on the goddamn dissertation, which I'm now using, as you see, as a mic stand, which is, I think, the perfect use for it. You know, it's a mic stand. 5 years of work in my life and making the mic about 2.5 inches taller on the ottoman that it needed to be so we can record the podcast.
Extremely utilitarian.
Extremely utilitarian, yeah. Bound copy and everything. And so there's always that, or then there's the book proposal and the job search and all this stuff. There's always the next project, and I'm always have to be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm so trained to like think about it and think about stuff and analyze shit, I can't turn off. I have very few escapist pleasures. And so it is this, like, I know I'm, like, it's like life is a, maybe not glass, but a grinding wheel. And I'm just a knife. And it's eventually just going to get worn off. And that's fucking it, you know? But it is that, like, angst and, like, that rage and that, like, for me, too, like, shit bothers me. And so I intellectualize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my way of getting over it, you know? And so, like, this dissertation that I wrote, this book that I have, you know, that's trauma from the past. Now there's new contemporary traumas. That's, like, the next book. And then the book after that. Like, I have these plans. But, like, it's fucked up, man. I gotta explain why it's so fucked up to people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so there's... It just
it's the same reason Kevin Smith makes a Clerks movie every 10 years.
Yeah, he's working on Clerks 3.
Yeah.
That's a thing that's happening. By the way, speaking of Kevin Smith, I think the other thing before we're done here, I think we also have to talk about the world of sports.
Yes.
And how that is maybe one place where it is really safe to be like, no, that fucking sucks. Like, no, that right there is just shit in an abyss of nothing and all of that.
I find sports, and by sports I of course mean hockey, because I don't follow any other sports.
Yeah.
I find that hockey is the absolute purest form of escapism to me.
Yeah.
It's just, it, I can watch hockey videos on YouTube for 4 hours, and it feels like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And a really great hockey game makes me feel great no matter what the hell else is going on in my life.
I'll tell you, speaking of my dissertation, and I actually, I'm saying that too, because I defended a year ago today.
Oh, yeah, happy anniversary.
You know how I spent the 21st of March?
How's that?
Watching hockey fights on YouTube. I watched all, was it 8 times, Domi fought Probert. I was like, that was my prep. I'm like, we're going. This is on. That was also the game where, like, the Rangers and the Devils, they fought, like,
the line brawl.
Three guys, yeah, the line brawl. I was like, I started with that. And I also started posting them to YouTube. I'm getting ready. This is it. Yeah, not YouTube. Face Place. And I was just like, or Face Tube or whatever. You know, and it was just, do it. You know, this is it. But yeah, it's a thing. But it's also a great place where you could just kind of like have an enemy.
Yeah.
And it's evil.
And it you don't have to question whether or not you hate them or not. You just do.
Yeah. I mean, you can intellectualize it. Like, okay, so... See, you like Brodeur still. He scored a goal last night, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
For me, all the evil kids in my high school pretty much liked the Devils. Because I grew up in Jersey, and he had choices.
Right.
You had this, like, vast old country corral smorgasbord of just bloated things and championships and just get fat, you know? It was, like, very... Like, Pittsburgh sports is a little lean.
Right.
But it's, like, healthy. It's, like, I jog... But I like hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, and the hot dogs are the championships. It's not like Cleveland. Cleveland, they're starving.
You know, there's nothing there.
There's nothing there. It's, you know, the zombies at the end of 24 when the jet goes over and the guy's like having his last breath on the bridge in England. Like, that's Cleveland sports.
The very end.
Yeah, the very end.
Just waiting for someone to put it out of their misery.
Yes, you know, they had the LeBron rage, and now it was just rage.
And now they've got nothing.
It's
great.
Yeah, even Travis Hafner, who had a bobblehead, two bobbleheads, gone. He's on the Yankees now. But for me, I was able to choose my teams based by who the evil kids liked.
Yeah.
And I would choose the other team. And so for me, even still, like, to look in the eyes of a Devils fan is to know that there is just this abyss that we can all, like, that human dignity, human worth is not a given. Fall off. There are cracks that you can slip through, and you could just fall. And like they said, what the medievals believed, a soul tossed into hell would fall for 500 years before it even, like, started getting tortured. Like, that fall, that abyss, is never ending. And I just, that's me. That's the New Jersey Devils for me.
See, I... Yeah. I don't understand how you can make this distinction to Devils fans and then support the New York Rangers.
Those kids were friendly. Those guys were nice.
I mean, if you're using that extremely specific criteria.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. But I have never known a New York Rangers fan to be friendly.
What about me?
Well, okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. So you're one of the good ones.
Right. Look at that.
You see, we're just taking that evil old discourse and transferring it.
This is 1919 in Paris. We're signing the peace accord.
Yes. And after a 15-year cooling off period,
be back at it again.
Tanks will be rolling. The Maginot Line. You just go through Belgium. I thought of that. That's just one of those. Oh no, they're not going to go through Belgium.
Why would anyone go to Belgium?
Oh, Lord. But yeah, so this is good. And I find that now, because I'm a little older, a lot older, actually, on the grumpy man arc, I'm finding that
more time to protect your craft.
Yeah, I think it's getting almost easier and more effortless.
Yeah.
To just be like, no, that fucking sucks, and here's why. You know what I mean? Because I think when I was younger, especially when I was a teenager, and even like early 20s, it was sort of like, I just don't know why that bothers me so much. And now I can be like, no, motherfucker, listen. You know?
I've definitely started to develop defenses for every position that I have. Because I very frequently hold an extremely contrarian position on most topics. Yeah. So I get a lot of questions and I get, no, this is bullshit. That band's horrible. And you're an idiot for liking them.
Yeah.
Like yes. The most frequent one, I guess, would be, my hatred of Pulp Fiction, which is everyone in the world's favorite fucking movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that movie, I guess, kind of. But I think it's really great that Quentin Tarantino had the foresight to build a like a 15 to 20 minute popcorn break in the middle of that movie, aka the Bruce Willis story.
Yeah.
Because it's so incredibly boring and it does nothing for me. That is not the case with damn near everyone else I've ever come in contact with. Anytime that movie comes up, I can't even just bite my tongue and not say anything. I have to, nah, fuck that, it sucks. And here's why. The 20-minute scene when she's in the cab asking what it feels like to kill a man.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I hate it. And I know why I hate it, because it's just... He's just jerking off on camera. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but... So then it comes to then... Because I started with Pulp Fiction. I just watched it the other night. the beta fish thing. So then what do you do when we encounter people like us? What are we doing right now that, like, all right, like, that other person who is just as grumpy as I am?
This is like sparring.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the actual fight would be if someone walked in here and was like, no one should have books or CDs because they're dumb. Like, hey! Immediately we're united and we tell them to get out.
You're right, that is sparring. We have the headgear on.
Yeah, it's like
gloves. Yeah.
It's just you know, perfecting your craft a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Because every conversation that you have with someone about why things are great and why things are not great, you learn a little bit. Maybe you come up with an analogy in that conversation that fits and works really well. It's like, okay, all right, that's good, that works. And now I can explain to other people why I don't like this.
That's true. Which I think then, I think also brings me to this, and maybe this is the point before we go to the bottom five, that I think also in some ways, in this world where there's just so much shit, there's this great book called Tyranny of the Moment by Thomas Hyland Erickson. It's dated, but he talks about how, like, oh, we got email now and the world's moving too fast. And, like, still dial-up internet. He talks about AOL.
Oh,
like,
God.
But he says that, you know, in this age, the task is not finding information. It's blocking out the 99.9% of information that you don't want.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if this thing is, like, maybe are we the last humanists? Are we the last ones who are like, no, shit really matters, and ideas matter. And I think, is it that, you know, because there's this just, you know, behemoth of, like, mall culture, that sometimes are we really just a scared dog in a corner being poked with a stick? You know, and is that...
I would...
That's humanism. Yeah. A scared dog in a corner being poked with a fucking stick.
Well, put it this way. I definitely, as do you, appreciate art. And art means anything you fucking want it to mean. I had a conversation with my girlfriend yesterday about Apocalypse Now. Okay. I was like, this... Because it was on. She was like, what's this? I was like, Apocalypse Now. She was like, I've never seen it. I was like, this movie changed my life.
Yeah.
She goes, how? And I was like, well, it made me see movies as art and not just movies. Like, that was... She was like, so it changed how you feel about movies. No, it changed my whole life.
Yeah.
It changed my whole life. And I think she was just fucking with me. Because yeah. She enjoys challenging me.
Mm-hmm.
But... I was like, it changed my whole entire life. After I saw this movie, I was like, this is a thing. This is a thing I can study. This is a thing that can be studied.
Yeah.
And the age we live in now, everything can be studied.
Yeah.
You can find the smallest niche of things that you like. For me, example, it would be like Japanese professional wrestling.
Mm.
Something that, in America, not that many people really give a fuck about.
Mm-hmm.
But I found the people that do give a fuck about it and write more than anything about it. So it's like, okay, all right, I understand this. This is good. If the internet didn't exist, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way you can tap into that kind of like immediate discourse on a subject.
Yeah.
The way you can now. Because like when I hear about something new, I don't just listen to it or something. Like if I hear about a new band, I don't listen to them. I search on like a message board to see like what people recommend. That's the way I operate. I use as many resources as possible to get a good base understanding of what I'm getting into.
Yeah. For me, I guess, 'cause I'm old. The first paper I ever wrote in my life was on a typewriter, you know. Okay, I'm that old. For me, it's still talking to people.
Yeah.
It's still so much of how I find out about news. I mean, I'd use the internet. But just talking to someone and that moment. And even if somebody's not like a grumpy person like us, but somebody who just sort of like, oh, I really love this and it means something to me.
Right.
I always try, and sometimes it is like I feel like I'm pulling their intestines out of their belly button. Okay, why is it really meaningful to you?
I love that
moment, to have that moment with another person.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for all the time, and that's why I've surrounded myself with people that give me that. Like, all of my friends, I can ask them why they like something, and they will explain to me why they like it. And I get it, and it makes sense to me. And even if I don't like it, okay, that makes perfect sense. It's not just like, oh, well, I like it, I don't really know why.
Yeah.
If someone like has a legitimate passion about something, like when I was in when I went to school, many times I would not go to class and just stand outside smoking cigarettes with my friends, and we called it music club, and we would just talk about music and talk shit on each other, and just figure out like find out new bands. I can't tell you how many bands all those dudes introduced me to.
Yeah.
It was just that, and then like once we got older, it evolved to going to the bar every Monday night.
Yeah.
And that was, like, that made me feel fucking alive. It was great.
Yeah.
To have that kind of, like, dedicated weekly time to, like, I'm going to get this shit out of my system. And I still need that today. Like, I need time to just, like, oh, that band sucks.
Yeah. Which is why I started a podcast.
Exactly.
Which is also, and I realized though, what you made me realize is sometimes I do this monstrous thing where I ask why, and then I pummel them about how much it sucks. It's like, no, go ahead, tap me on the shoulder. I want to punch you back. You know, I do that, and I realize I am a terrible, terrible fucking human being.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing.
Shit, that sucks.
See, I embrace it, though. That's what you really need to do.
Yeah. God. And on that note, it's time for the bottom five.
Excited.
The bottom five, a series of questions not related to our main topic, that are a surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's just say reincarnation is real.
Okay.
And you had to come back as an infectious disease or an illness. I guess something like a virus or a germ or something.
Right.
What kind of disease would you be? If you had to make that choice, you're just going to come back as a single cell thing that kills people or fucks up their shit. It's a tough one.
No, it's a good question. See, I guess if I would have to be a disease or like an illness, not necessarily like a terminal illness, right? It's just anything.
Anything, yeah.
I would want to, you know, take up the reins of being an illness and try to cause as much discomfort and displeasure as possible.
Okay.
So I'd probably say irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one, yeah.
Because that, you're not stoked if you have that. You're not, it's just the moment when you realize that you have irritable bowel syndrome, the rest of your life is immediately different.
Oh, that's great. Irritable bowel syndrome. You're not stoked.
No, you're not. It's horrible. And it's not, like, horrible you're gonna die, but it's horrible, like, you might shit yourself every day.
Oh, God.
It's just enough of a, like, a...
That's brilliant.
Smack
that's...
in the face.
I don't know if I can answer this question again. This is my go-to lead-off bottom five question. I think that was fucked now. I think nothing is beating irritable bowel syndrome. All right. Number two. Tell me a happy but somewhat unremarkable memory from your childhood.
Oh, Jesus. Happy.
Yeah. Happy but unremarkable. So it's no, we didn't go to Disney World.
Right.
But it was just like...
Well, I mean, my story with Disney World is I went there and we got a phone call that my grandmother died. And I didn't get to see Goofy and I didn't get to ride Dumbo. It was awful. Didn't go to Universal Studios. The dinosaur exhibit was closed. It was everything bad about Disney. But happy. We're going happy.
Happy but unremarkable. It's one day we watched this movie or made cookies or something. Not like, yes, and not Disney World. Not, you know, I got to meet my childhood idol or something like
that. Right.
Just totally kind of random, unremarkable, but happy.
Well, a series of moments.
Okay.
I'll answer that way. There was a woman that lived down the street from my mom's house that she was, I guess, friends with my grandmother for like their entire life. So she just became Aunt Carol.
Mm.
She was Aunt Carol. All right. It was great. And she used to always... like she was really, really into the Penguins, really, really into the Steelers. One of those like old ladies that just really loves sports because they have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
And I always loved whenever she had the old like the super old like Tribune Review like Mario pamphlets like in her window once like playoff season started.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was the coolest thing in the world to me, and I loved her house. Her house was great.
Yeah.
Had a skylight, which blew my mind as a kid, that you could see it, like...
you could be inside it. No, yeah. I totally get that.
And she would just have those out every... And then she, she passed away, I think, like, May of 2009. Mm. So she didn't get to see the Penguins' third cup.
Oh.
And, like, after that, anytime it's, like, hockey season and I'm down in my, at my mom's house, I look at her house and I'll see, like, because I think her son lives there now. And he doesn't really, like, bother with that. He'll put, like, the NASCAR flag up, but not the Penguin stuff. And it's such a bummer. So look at that. Happy, ask for a happy memory. And I'm like, here, this is happy. And then it is why it sucks now.
Okay. Question 3. What's the strangest item you have eaten and or found in your stool?
The strangest thing I've eaten. All right, I hate to say this, but in high school, I was the kid that was like, hey, let's give him money. Maybe he'll eat weird shit.
Okay.
I ate a piece of raw liver with iodine on it, which it should have killed me, I think.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, it was just, like, I think maybe even I suggested it or something. Like, something horrible like that. I don't know. I was searching for acceptance in high school and didn't find it. And, like, this was in the period of time where I, like, thought I would find it. Before I was just like, yo, fuck everyone.
That period fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that is the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst. That would actually, you know what? A friend asked me the other day what my idea of hell would be. And I think, going back, I'm revising my answer to say that period when I thought I could be accepted by people.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, well, fucking they can do it and they're idiots. Like, I can pull this off. I just can't.
Oh, God, you know? All right, question 4. Name a historical figure you wish you could have sex with. Like, say, like, time machine. Like, some kind of, like, I guess this is the bad porno equipment. Like, there was, like, some bad porno.
Right.
Where you, like, get in the time machine and go meet somebody and be like, hey, you know, that moment, who would be on the other expanse of the, on the other end of the expansive wormhole or whatever you do to get back in time?
That I would arrive at.
That you would arrive at and be like, we're getting it on.
Robert Mitchum. Robert Mitchum? Not because I'm gay.
Okay.
But he's just the pinnacle of fucking manliness, right?
Yeah.
He's like Dean Martin, but harder.
Yes.
I was almost late coming here because Cape Fear was on.
Oh, shit.
It just started as I was about to leave, and I was like, damn.
Well, I appreciate you doing that.
He's the pinnacle of manliness.
All right.
It's Robert fucking Mitchum.
No,
he probably smells like Brut and Irish Spring.
Yeah.
Scratch that. He definitely does. He has to.
Oh, totally. Totally. All right. Last question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Of the living villains of history. Living villains of history. Whose obituary would you most like to write? And that's credit where credit's due, that comes from Christopher Hitchens' mortality.
Yeah.
Because when he got the diagnosis, he was like, fuck, that means I'm not going to get to read. And it was Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict.
Okay.
And Henry Kissinger. He's like, I'm not going to be able to get to read those. Wait, I wanted to write those. So if you could write, for any living, it has to be a living villain of history, whose obituary would you like to write?
How loose is the definition of the term villain?
It is what you make of it.
Excellent. Excellent answer. Tom York.
Really?
Hate him. And in my obituary, I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
He's fucking dead. He's fucking dead. That's it. Nothing else. Hate that. I hate everything he's ever done. I hate the fact that he spells his name with an H. I hate how incredibly British he is. He's fucking dead.
He's fucking dead. I like it. That's a tweet. That's an obit tweet.
Yeah, I don't even need to fuck. I don't even need to get it published. I just do that on Twitter.
He's fucking dead. Read Tom York.
And hopefully that I'll get that chance. I don't want to die before Tom York does.
Yeah.
I don't want to live long enough to not enjoy a Tom Yorkless world. Tom York or Bob Rock, the Metallica's producer.
Get behind Bob Rock.
Because he, yeah, he ruined my favorite band of all time. So, yeah, I would, he's actually the better answer to if you could kill someone and get away with it. That's my, Bob Rock is my answer to that, and Tom York is the obituary one.
Okay. I can get behind that. Well, I think that's about it. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it will be about something. Our homepage is gonnadiepodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at gonnadiepodcast. And we're also we're all gonna die on Facebook and Google Plus, because I'm just a fucking whore for attention. And just please like me. Thanks to Brett Zark as always for the lovely theme music. Later, meets. That's the thing. Thank you so much, Nate, for doing this.
Thank you as well, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes.